May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The challenge with Jesus' parables is to find ourselves within the parable. When the parable is a judgment on those who hear it, it's easy for us to separate ourselves from the parable and that he's just speaking to those people 2,000 years ago, not us. But if we are to grow in faithfulness as disciples of Jesus Christ, we need to challenge ourselves. We need to hear God's judgment and respond as God intends. That is repentance. It's not God's desire to crush us. It is God's desire that we repent and restore our relationship with God and each other. The context of this parable is important. Jesus has come into the city of Jerusalem on what we typically call Palm Sunday. Jesus then went into the temple and turned over the tables of the money changers. Remember, we spoke last week about that, and we spoke of Jesus rearranging the furniture in the church. This parable is part of Jesus' conversation with the chief priest in the temple, who are challenging Jesus on his authority to do the things that he's been doing. In this parable, Jesus turns the tables on them and challenges their authority to do what they've been doing. Like Nathan, who challenged King David with a parable after David had misused his authority to have Uriah the Hittite killed in battle so David could marry Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. Jesus is challenging the priests with a parable. And also, remember from last week, rather than sit back and hear the parable as Jesus speaking to the church leaders of his day, we need to listen to the parable as Jesus speaking to the church today. How are we using the authority God has given us over the church, the body of Christ? The parable Jesus uses is deeply rooted in Hebrew Scripture. The priest of the temple of Jerusalem cannot mistake Jesus' meaning because the parable is based on Scripture they have studied. We heard it in the Scripture Ronnie read earlier from the book of Isaiah, chapter 5. The vineyard is Israel. The tenants are those God has trusted to tend his vineyard, the chief priest and the Pharisees, the leaders of the church. Jesus, who has just cleansed the temple, is holding up a mirror to those in charge of the temple, and they see themselves. As it says at the end of our lesson for today in verse 45, quote, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they realized that he was speaking about them, end quote. So like David, they repent and do better, right? No. Unfortunately, Matthew 21 verse 46 says, they wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they, the crowds, regarded him as a prophet, end quote. Unfortunately, as so often happens when a prophet holds up a mirror, the recipient of the message gets angry with the messenger rather than taking the chance to repent and do better. The Lord of the vineyard, the Lord of Israel, our Lord, is patient to the point of being unreasonable. How many of us would have kept sending messengers to the violent and unfaithful tenants. After the first group of slaves who went, sent as messengers, were met with violence, with stones, and even death, wouldn't we expect the authorities to call out the SWAT team? Shouldn't those riotous tenants be met with violence? Surprisingly, our faithful and patient God sends more messengers. God's love is insane. Albert Einstein is attributed with saying that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. Actually, that's not the definition of insanity. And in the kingdom of heaven, it's the definition of love. God's unrelenting, steadfast love. A love that goes so far that God is willing to send His only Son, God's self in flesh, to us to demonstrate love that is willing to die for us. Jesus, the Son of God, ends His parable with another biblical image that the chief priests and Pharisees could not mistake. The image or the metaphor of the stone. This image is based on at least two passages, one from Psalm 118:22, which reads, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." And another, also from the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verses 13 through 15, which says, "But the Lord of hosts, Him you shall regard as holy. Let Him be your fear, let Him be your dread. He will become a sanctuary, a stone one strikes against. For both houses of Israel, He will become a rock one stumbles over, a trap and a snare for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble, they shall fall and be broken, they shall be snared and taken." End quote. If only the priest and the Pharisees had heard Jesus' words and reacted like King David did. If only they had repented. God does not desire a violent end. Notice that it is the priest and the Pharisees themselves that say in verse 41, they said to Him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give Him the produce at the harvest time," end quote. That's what the Pharisees thought. But God sends His Son, the cornerstone, to us in order that we might be reconciled to God. Likewise, God sent His Son to the tenants, seeking only a portion of what God had entrusted to them. The Scripture says in Isaiah 28:16, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, see, I am laying in Zion a foundation stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. One who trusts will not panic." The response to Jesus should not be panic. The response to judgment should not be panic. The response should be repentance and giving God what is due. And what does God desire? According to one of God's messengers, Micah, quote, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God," end quote. Unfortunately, the leaders to whom Jesus is speaking did not listen to the messengers of God and did not listen to the Son. These same leaders later arrested the Apostle Peter, and after he had healed a man and he was preaching about Jesus, they asked Peter by what authority he was preaching and healing, And Peter said in Acts 4, beginning with verse 11, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and we are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead.'" In verse 11, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." In case they missed it, the temple leaders are again confronted with Jesus, the stone who was rejected. How many times do we have to hear the message until we receive it? Are we like the priests and Pharisees who are not satisfied that we are utilizing God's good gifts to us, tending God's vineyard appropriately? Are we using God's vineyard as God would have us use it? Both Paul and Peter wrote to the church referring to Jesus as the cornerstone. Jesus' message was not only to the priests and the Pharisees of the first century Israel, but also to the church. That's us. Hear the words of Paul to the Ephesians. "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens and saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God." Those messengers and the stone himself were sent to us as well. We are also citizens of the vineyard and members of the household of God. How are we going to respond to that message? Peter suggests that we respond by becoming living stones who rest upon the stone sent by God for us. In 1 Peter 2, Peter says, "Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it says in Scripture, 'See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, quote, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light," end quote. Peter calls us a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. We cannot disregard the words of Jesus to the priests and Pharisees because we are the priests and the Pharisees. We are the tenants to whom God has entrusted His precious vineyard. Are we going to give God God's due? Are we going to respond violently to that message that we don't want to hear? Unfortunately, violence is too often the response to messages we do not want to hear. That violence is often directed at persons who are seen to embody that disagreeable message. The tenants did not want to hear that they were failing to give the vineyard owner his due, so they killed the messengers. How do we respond to God's message to us that we are not giving to God to which God is entitled? Do we listen to the message and do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with our God? Or do we lash out at the messengers? Do we choose violence or justice or kindness and humility? May God empower us to choose peace. The peace built on the solid rock who modeled for us a life of justice, kindness, and humility. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed,